Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? What makes you a Christian? Is it what you do or something you are? For Luther in the early days, before his tower experience in 1519, he would have answered these questions by saying that to be a Christian was to follow and live the commandments of God perfectly. And if one stumbled, if he failed to live those commandments perfectly, then he must go and repent and do penance to make payment for those sins while also working hard to do better. But there was still no way that that person could pay off all of the sins that they accumulated in this life. So when a person died, if they were a Christian, they would go to purgatory, where the sins stopped accruing, and they would then be able to start to pay off their many debts before they could enter into heaven as a perfect saint of God. He was taught this from his youth, and he firmly believed these things. He firmly believed that he could only be saved by his own work of attaining Christ's righteousness by the living of the law. But after the tower experience, everything changed. As he sat reading the Bible in his heated study in the tower of the Black Cloister in Wittenberg, this building later became his home, he kept stumbling over one of the phrases from the book of Romans from the first chapter. The line is, "In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith." All of his teachers had instructed him to see the righteousness of God as something that had to be earned, as something that one acquired by their works, by their good works. But here in the text, it says, "In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith." He kept struggling with this text, with all of the early chapters of the book of Romans, the knowledge of his own sins, and the Holy Spirit, through the hearing of this word, through the revealed words of God, worked faith in his heart. The righteousness of God is not something that sinners can earn. It must be imputed. It must be given, declared to you as a gift by grace, not by works. That's what our text says from the third chapter of Romans. "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified, made righteous, not by your works. You will not be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." The law condemns. The law makes you see your sin and your unworthiness. It can't ever make you righteous. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested, shown, revealed, apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. All have sinned and lack the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, a mercy seat sacrifice made on your behalf in his blood, to be received by faith. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by works, not because you have done such a good job at keeping the law. The law says, do this and you will live. But you can't, and so you won't. But the gospel is, Jesus loves you, and he has redeemed you. So again, what does it mean to be a Christian? What makes you a Christian? Is it what you do, or something that you are? To be a Christian means to be a sinner who is justified by God's grace, a sinner who has received the benefit and work of Jesus' death and resurrection through holy baptism and the hearing of the Word of God, a sinner who is forgiven and free from the fear of death and hell. God Himself makes you a Christian, not by your works or in view of your great faith, but by His grace, His love and sacrifice for the whole world, which also includes each one of you. Christianity is not what you do for God, not how you live towards your neighbor, not how you follow God's law. Christianity is who you are, whose you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. He gave up His life for you. He has done everything, absolutely everything necessary to save you. How's that for pure gospel? Sadly, the Roman Church today still teaches that baptism doesn't pay the price for future sins, but only for the past ones. And then it's up to you, up to that spark of goodness still in you, to grab hold of the second plank. You must confess and do penance, pray and tithe, buy masses and even indulgences in order to keep making yourself holy, to keep climbing up that ladder to heaven. But when holiness and salvation are up to you, your conscience will always be bothered. Because the law is written on your heart and you know your sins, you know that you cannot please God by your works. You will never have any peace. This is the very struggle that Luther knew well. He knew that he could not attain the righteousness of God, and yet to be saved, he thought he had to. Unlike many others of his day, he took this very seriously. Most simply skipped over the words. He wanted to be saved, but he found it impossible to stop sinning. You know that struggle too, don't you? What sinner can ever be certain that he has done enough? And if they are honest, if you are honest, you can be certain that you have not done enough to be worthy, to be holy, to stand before God justified. The Reformed Church today falls into a different ditch, on the other side of the horse, so to speak, but the same troubled, uncertain conscience is still the result of their teaching. They teach that you must make a decision for Jesus in order to become a Christian, that you must first have faith and be worthy to approach God, and then you can be baptized, you can choose Jesus. Which is only to say that you can outwardly show your obedience to Jesus' ordinances. That's what the Reformed call the sacraments. Ordinances. Things that you have to do because God has commanded them. They are not, as God teaches, the location of God's merciful presence among His people or the means of God's grace and forgiveness for sinners. In Reformed churches, you make yourself a Christian by how you live and act. It's up to you to keep getting better in the Christian faith. If you sin, it's because you don't have enough faith. You have not conquered it yet, and you must work harder to get there. If you sin, you must find a way to convert yourself and save yourself again. And so, just as in the Roman Church, so it is in the Reformed churches, there can never be any certainty of salvation. No peace for troubled consciences. Certainly, no rest for those who take God's word seriously. It's almost as if Luther and the Reformation was a little blip in the history of the world, but the religious landscape was very little changed by it. How many hundreds of thousands of consciences are still today bound under the law, trying to work their own salvation, trying to earn or merit the righteousness of God? If only they could understand what Luther was given to understand from the Scripture, from the angel who came and proclaimed an eternal gospel again. The righteous one shall live by faith in Christ. We hold that one is justified, that is, made righteous by faith, apart from the works of the law. In quoting these texts, Paul has not made up something new as he preaches to the saints at Rome. No, he's going all the way back to the Old Testament and remembering what the Lord himself said to the prophet Habakkuk. That prophet stood on the wall of Jerusalem. He saw the powerful Babylonians coming to them to kill and destroy all of Israel. He cried out to God, "What shall we do?" They had no army that could defeat the Babylonians, no weapons of man's making that would be strong enough to defend them. With his eyes, the prophet sees death. But with his ears, he hears resurrection, life, and salvation. God calms his fears and says to him and to all Israel, "The righteous one shall live by his faith." Neither death, nor suffering, nor anything else in this creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You can't defeat them, Habakkuk, but I can. Trust me, I am your salvation, says the Lord. Saints of Christ, at Christ the King, you can't defeat your enemies, the devil and the evil world. And you can't overcome or make restitution for your own sinful deeds either. But Jesus not only can defeat your enemies and redeem you from your sin and death, but he has done those things. He has done them for you. He has spoken peace to your sin-heavy heart, and his words are life. They do what no other words can do. You have nothing in yourself. But his words give you everything. You can't see it, just like the prophet Habakkuk couldn't see it. But keep listening. Hear and believe that your sins are forgiven. Trust that you have been made holy by the Holy One. And know and rejoice that your salvation is sure and certain in Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remains. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who, for some other reason, are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.